In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fans, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can also check out the podcast of this show by searching Overtime on 106.7 The Fan, anywhere you get your podcasts at, Spotify or iTunes. John Keim reported that Dan Quinn said that there will be new captains for each game this season, right? Captains for this week, linebacker Frankie Louvu. I pushed back on anyone that said Frankie Louvu didn't play well week one. I thought he was one of the best players on the field for Washington. I thought Bobby Wagner was average. I thought Louvu was fast. He was all over the place. Yes, he missed a few tackles, and he missed a sack, right? But I think that was a little bit of, hey, we got to get used to playing in the National Football League once again, right? He only played like in the first quarter of 2 preseason games. I thought Louvu absolutely earned this. Tyler Biadasz, the snaps, there were no issues with the snaps. He's a captain this week. And then Dan Quinn said the team went nuts when he announced defensive back special teamers Percy Butler would be the third captain this week. So you guys know that anytime the Commanders have a game, I'm up all night. I'm crunching the numbers. I'm looking at the trends. I'm reading articles. I'm speaking with insiders to bring you the keys to victory for Washington against the Giants. Now, technically, look, we do the keys to victory every week. We could go back to the same keys from last week because they left the keys in Ashburn. They didn't take any of them to Tampa. I asked for this team to get off to a fast start. Max, they said, no, we're going to throw it backwards 15 yards and then punt.
They said,
no fast start at all. Right? We were down 13-0. Then you had the desperation drive and you get 7 points on the board. Man, fast start was one of my keys to victory, and it was like the opposite happened. The second key to victory last week was win the turnover battle. And it was 0 turnovers for Washington, 0 turnovers for the Bucs. Jaden had a fumble. Washington recovered it. We didn't win the turnover battle. That's how you win on the road. Number three was win the line of scrimmage. And if you just look at the box score, you could argue Washington won the line of scrimmage. That's not why. That's why we watch the games. And that's why the box scores don't really matter. Because Washington didn't win the line of scrimmage. Because you can't count Jaden's running as winning the line of scrimmage, because those were not designed runs. That was the 7 scrambles for 78 yards. So if you minus the 78 yards, how many yards did we have on the ground? 60. You had 40 from B-Rob, 10 from Eckler. That's not good enough. Where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had 112 on the ground. They controlled the line of scrimmage, especially rushing it on first downs. So we didn't get any of the three keys to victory. So I'm ready to come back to this one with 3 more keys to victory, and hopefully we'll be able to collect these keys and get the win against the New York Giants. So, number one here, your first key to the game, this is your car key. You're not going anywhere without your car key. And I think the key to Washington being able to drive the ball, right, your car key, being able to drive the ball this game tomorrow, is having more sacks than the New York Giants, right? we have to get Daniel Jones off the field so he doesn't have extended drives. Washington, if Jane Daniels avoids the sack and is able to run and pick up the first down, that's how they have extended drives and stay on the field. I think time of possession is going to be key in this one. But having more sacks than the Giants is the first key to victory here. Controlling the ball, keeping your drive alive. It's just a drive killer. Anytime you have a penalty or a sack, have more sacks than the Giants is key number one. Key number two is you have to get your playmaker involved. You have to target him early. You have to target him often. Max, key number two is a Terry McLaurin touchdown. It's Terry McLaurin into the end zone. I don't care if that's a deep pass to Terry. I don't care if that's a red zone throw to Terry. I don't care what it is, how they get the ball into his hands. Terry McLaurin needs a touchdown in the home opener, the start of the Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn era. You can't forget about the guy. That's the only reason the team was worth watching the last few years, Terry McLaurin. He was open down the sidelines, and Jaden missed him. Run that blank back and hit him this time. Key number two is to have a McLaurin touchdown. Also, the team needs to put up more than 20 points on the board. That's been their biggest issue against the Giants. McLaurin touchdown would certainly help that. My third key to victory here for Washington, and I'm going to go back to last week, and I get it. I talked about this because it was on the road, but that's how you win on the road. You got to win the turnover battle. Unfortunately, I'm here to tell you I'm expecting Jaden Daniels to make a mistake. He nearly had an interception to Antoine Winfield week one. He had the fumble that was recovered. I'm expecting him to have a turnover. I really am. Either an interception or a fumble. He's a young quarterback. He's going to go through his ups and downs. He's going to make his mistakes. Sam Howell had his mistakes last year. For Jaden, I kind of think it's going to be a fumble because he's a little bit loose with the ball when he scrambles. And if he's trying to get out of the pocket, he might not see a guy hit him from behind. But can the Washington defense, that Dan Quinn was so good at creating turnovers last year with his Cowboys staff, can they create some turnovers against Daniel Jones, who had two interceptions week one? So what I'm saying is I'm expecting Jaden and the offense to have one mistake, one turnover. Can we get two takeaways from the defense to win the turnover battle? That's the third key to victory. Have more sacks than Washington, McLaurin getting into the end zone, and win the turnover battle are your three keys to victory as we move over to the pathway to success for Washington against the Giants. I absolutely think there's a pathway to beating the Giants because they're not very good, right? They only scored 7 points last week. And so the defense has to clean up some things on third down. You got to get off the field. We can't let the Giants score anywhere close to the amount of points that the Bucs scored. You probably can't even let them get half of that points, right? And so I'm thinking, look, we got to hold Daniel Jones here to about 55% completion percentage. You got to sack him multiple times. You cannot let him run for more than 20 yards in this game here. He will try to pick up first down with his legs. And then offensively, like I said, obviously I want to target Terry McLaurin, but I'll throw out there multiple receivers, right? Eckler had 4 catches. I want a wide receiver or a tight end to have the most catches this week, right? And the most targets as well, right? Target Zach Ertz more. Target Luke McCaffrey more. Target McLaurin more. Olamide is a chaos. There's one guy that I actually want to see on the field more on Sunday, and that's Jamison Crowder. 1 catch, 1 target, 5 yards. Jamison Crowder can get open in the National Football League. He's still got the quickness, and I think he also knows how to run routes against zone defenses better than some of these young guys here in Washington. I just think that the veteran would help out the rookie quarterback, so I want more snaps for Jamison Crowder out there because we know a wide receiver is not a strong suit for this Washington Commanders team here. But you cannot have fumbles. You cannot have the fumbles from Jaden Daniels, especially ones that are lost and recovered by the Giants. Another pathway to success, you have to point to Bobby Wagner playing better. He led the team in tackles with 10. He had 3 tackles for losses. I don't think he was the best player on the field at all for Washington defensively. It looked like he was slow on the outside plays. I keep going back to that 3rd and 17 where I wanted to just destroy my remote and turn off the game because you cannot give up a 3rd and 17, and it's infuriating to give it up on a simple screen pass because your linebackers are 15 yards off the ball. Improve your damn play calling, Joe Witt Jr. Blitz more and get off the field on Sunday that's part of the pathway to success here against the New York Giants. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Dwayne tweets me AWOD. I think the biggest difference this year with the Giants against the Commanders is going to be Saquon Barkley. Most people say Jones has had Washington's number, but it's actually been Barkley who has put the nail in our coffin. Singletary is nowhere near the running back Barkley is. Jones without Barkley is trash. I hope you're right, man, and I think you're onto something, though, that Saquon's ability to run has helped Daniel Jones immensely in his time against Washington. But I also think you got to give Daniel Jones his credit, right? He has been a different quarterback against Washington than he is against any team in the NFL. 5-1-1. He's burned him with his passes. He's burned him with his legs. He's burned us by just having his defense give him the ball back. And in short field, he can put points on the board. We've got to make Daniel Jones look like a big dummy on Sunday. Running into his own teammates there, stepping up in the pocket with nowhere to go, and throwing into double teams. That's what I'm hoping for on Sunday. It's Commanders against Giants. It's the home opener for the Dan Quinn, Adam Peters era for Washington. It's a division rivalry, and it's a matchup of two teams that were in the cellar of the NFC last year. Who's more improved, Washington or New York? Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Use the app today to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, then pick up right where you left off. The Odyssey app is the best app out there for music play-by-play and the most local sports talk here in town on The Fan. And phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Previewing the Commanders Week 2 matchup, hosting the New York Football Giants. Let me just review my keys to victory here for Week 2. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Number one, have more sacks than the Giants. It's just such a drive killer. That's my first key. Number two, your house key. Key to a home victory at the house. McLaurin getting into the end zone. I think a McLaurin touchdown is so important, especially for the development of Jaden and his chemistry with McLaurin. You missed him down the sidelines week one. You got to make up for it. Get into the end zone with McLaurin. Number three, win the turnover battle. I had a caller who was upset during the break there because I said, I expect Jaden Daniels to have an interception. If you watch the game, he had two interceptable passes. He also coughed the ball up with a fumble, and it was recovered by his own team. I think rookie quarterbacks have mistakes all the time. I'm expecting Jaden Daniels to have a turnover on Sunday, either an interception or a fumble. I'm looking for Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's defense to make up for that by causing two turnovers on their side of the ball. Those are my three keys to victory. 1-800-636-1067. Every good host knows, got to get the opinion of the guy behind the glass. For this show, It's Max. Snacks is running the ones and twos. How are the Commanders going to get the win Sunday, Max?
I think Jaden's probably going to have to run a little bit, just given how, for some reason, whenever we play the Giants, their defensive line turns into the San Francisco 49ers. It's pretty insane. So I have a feeling we're going to see more of that this week, but, you know, we'll see. I think Jaden's probably going to be running a lot. Attacking through the air, I mean, we got to get Terry McLaurin involved early. You got to get your playmakers involved early. Just run it down their throat with Brian Robinson. Get Austin Ekeler some touches, and the defense has got to figure it out, man. Emmanuel Forbes, who knows? He'll be out for a couple weeks, so we'll see how Noah Igbinoghene and Michael Davis get in there, and we'll see how they play.
Yeah, it's so interesting that Michael Davis got zero snaps defensively in week one, because he was one of the guys that impressed me in training camp with his size and his length at the cornerback position, and he's a veteran, but it looks like, you know, the coaching staff went with the guy that they were more familiar with there at corner there as a backup. So it'll be interesting moving forward defensively without Emmanuel Forbes, next man up mentality. You're going to have to hope that the guys behind him are better than he is, and it shouldn't take much to be better than Emmanuel Forbes, especially the way he looked week one. I think you're right, Jaden's going to run a lot. How do they run with Brian Robinson and Ekeler, right? Because you have to. Like, you just have to give Ekeler his touches. That's why I came up, I don't know, maybe it's crazy, but maybe you use Ekeler the first drive, and then B-Rob comes in to spell him, because Ekeler was just so good. He 2 carries for 10 yards, 5 yards a carry. The 4 catches for 52 yards. He looked like the most explosive player on our team the way he was bouncing off tackles. And he's such a good professional, right? I think it would be great for Jaden to have Ekeler in the backfield next to him, helping him out. So maybe it's more play calls with both of them on the field, but you got to find a way to get more carries for those two guys combined than Jaden Daniels. Let's go out to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mike in D.C. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, A-Wad, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, how are you doing?
Good, brother, good. So you talked about keys as turnovers. So I can tell you this. I felt like I was watching Jack Del Rio run the prevent defense last week, and our corners were 8 to 10 yards back. And
totally agree.
Tampa Bay's guys, I mean, listen, if you want to have a mantra and a culture where you're playing in your face, Dan Quinn, like, we're going to change the culture in terms of defense, you cannot give this much respect to receivers. If you get beat, you get beat. If you get a flag called on, you know, physical contact, I want to see our guys pissing off receivers. I actually think Jonathan Allen and Payne get way too much grief. I actually think they do their job. I think the problem is that our corners and our safeties give so much room that whether it's second or third down, they're always playing back. And maybe at the very end of the fourth quarter, they started playing up because we were down. But you have to change the philosophy on how you're playing defense on the in terms of pressing these receivers, no matter how good they are, Mike Evans or whatever it be. And I was really hoping Dan Quinn would bring that, and I did not see it last week. So I do hope that they really start to play up in your face, not give a cushion, no matter whether it's 3rd and 15 or whatever it may be. Really frustrated with that. I actually think our defensive line is good. And if we can give ball pressure on the corners, I think the turnovers will come. And, you know, so I'm excited to see hopefully a different approach this week, because let's be honest, the Giants' offense is pathetic.
Yeah.
You can't give them respect this weekend.
Yeah. Good call, Mike. Appreciate you chiming in, because I was just as frustrated with you, right? All offseason, they kept using terms like violence, right? It wasn't violent. They missed Baker Mayfield. They missed wide receivers. The guys were open. They couldn't tackle as well. He mentioned how much they played off. I keep talking about that 3rd and 17 play where Baker just snaps it and turns to his right and throws a screen pass, and they got 20 yards because we were playing some stupid prevent defense. You're right. It looked like Jack Del Rio. And I think it was a feeling out process, right? Joe Witt Jr. calling the game, Dan Quinn letting him have control here. But they need to clean things up. They've got to blitz more. They've got to be more aggressive at the line of scrimmage. And they can't have as much respect for the wide receivers of the Giants. Great call there. Appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Ron at Commanders Park. What's up, Ron?
Hey, good afternoon. Congratulations on your spot, your flight up to being an on-air personality. I remember when you were behind the glass, my friend.
Yeah, man. How are you doing?
Good. Listen, I wanted to comment on your keys to the victory. I'm gonna tell you, these are seasoned NFL coaches, and the film doesn't lie. The defensive backfield is terrible. Terrible. Whether they line up on the press defense, whether they line up in prevent defense, whatever, they're not very good. And unfortunately, when we have keys to the game and we want to see things change, it means changing the personnel, and it means changing four people at once, which is not going to happen. So I'm going to say they got to have turnovers. They got to keep the Giants quarterback in the pocket, which is going to be a tough ask because the only real pressure that they get is from the defensive tackles. They don't have a pass rusher. So they're going to have to take chances because they have to shorten the amount of time he has to throw the ball and get him off his – getting confused, which isn't hard to do, but you can't make it. There's nobody on the team that's a quote pass rusher right now. That's the big problem for pressure.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for calling, Adam.
Yeah, appreciate you chiming in, Ron. You're so right that our secondary is so bad. I mean, I've gotten so over Benjamin St. Juice. I've given up on him. He gave up that touchdown, and everybody's like, oh, it was good defense. No, it's not. What game are we watching here? Turn your head around and make a play on the ball. How many freaking times does Benjamin St. Juice grab somebody's arm or grab somebody's jersey? He's a cheater. He doesn't know how to play the game the right way. I mean, it's so frustrating. And then you got Forbes on the other side who doesn't know what he's doing. He's getting caught flat-footed every single time. So glad that he's out with that injury. But you're right. We have to get after Daniel Jones because anytime he throws it deep 30-plus yards, I'm going to hold my breath, and I feel like more times than not, they're either going to get the catch or get a pass interference penalty because our corners are so bad. The only way to make up for bad corners is to blitz more and don't allow the quarterback to throw deep. He's got to have to get rid of it quickly. Let's go to line three. I'm Adam Epstein. We've got Adam in Loudoun. What's going on, Adam?
What's up, buddy? How are you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good. And, yeah, I agree. I disagree with you on one thing. It was violent, just in the fact that they ended up killing us. And we need to trade for Davante Adams. I mean, we have the draft capital. And on top of that, we have Austin Ekeler, who is known for red zone touchdowns. We need people more open. And Davante Adams would do that. He's going to make everybody a lot better. McLaurin can't do it by himself. Because if you double him, our only good receiver, then, I mean, what do you expect with everybody else? They can't get open.
Right. No, you're so right about that. I mean, look, I don't think they're going to make a trade this season. I think the plan is long-term. Use that draft capital to draft a wide receiver. I was just looking at a mock draft for next year. It has Washington taking a wide receiver in the first round. I think that's how they're going to handle improving the talent around Jaden Daniels. But you're right, it's not good enough right now. And hopefully, you know, they're going to give Luke McCaffrey a chance. I think Zacchaeus will do something this season. He only had one catch for 15 yards, was targeted three times. Look, there's a reason he made this roster and that they traded Jahan Dotson. So they like what they saw in him. Let's give him a few more weeks here before we start asking for a trade here for a wide receiver. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, we're going to get into our players to watch Sunday, Commanders against the Giants, and your X-Factors for either team. If you'd like to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. I appreciate Cobra Commander for letting me know he's listening. Dwayne, James, Rick have also tweeted me. Appreciate you guys checking in with me here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. So, player to watch for the Giants, Kayvon Thibodeau. 5.5 sacks, seven tackles for loss. In a season, a forced fumble and a forced fumble recovery for a touchdown? No, that's not one season. That's just four games against the Washington Commanders. That's how good he's been. He's looking for a fifth consecutive game against Washington with a sack, and he just completely destroys our game plan. I vividly remember Thibodeau destroying our playoff chances with the sack fumble in the end zone against Taylor Heinicke. You got to contain him. That's why my first key to victory was more sacks than the Giants are going to get. They're going to get a few. I don't think Jaden's going to be able to escape the pressure all game long. It's a different defense coordinator, but the Giants blitzed so successfully last year with Wink Martindale. Commanders player to watch. I think it has to be Benjamin St. Juice, because unfortunately, as bad as he was getting lit up by Baker and Mike Evans, and he's not solely to blame on that, right? He is the only guy that we've got at corner, right? We don't have anybody else with experience and that could make a play. He almost jumped that one pass and would have had an interception. That would have had us all talking a lot differently about BSJ today, but simply, he's got to be better. He's got to be better, and he's going up against a first-round pick in Malik Nabers. That's going to be a really interesting matchup. I think another matchup you have to talk about is how will the Commanders' offensive line handle not just Thibodeau, but Brian Burns, who was at it in the offseason. We know about Dexter Lawrence as well. That's going to be important here. I mean, I just can't talk about it enough. It's going to come down to the two teams here. Which team forces the most pressure on the other team's quarterback, right? Can we force Daniel Jones into making mistakes and running for his life? Can the Giants force Jaden into a mistake here? Or just force him to be run happy and not keep his eyes down the field? That was the issue, and I heard, I think it was Brian Baldinger talking about this with the Junkies, where Todd Bowles blitzed so hard in the first half and so successfully that he knew in the second half that any time Jaden felt any pressure, he was going to take off and run. And it was like the game plan for the Tampa Bay Bucs worked to perfection against Jaden, right? And so Jaden's going to have to be better at knowing when to take off. And Jaden talked about that with the media, how he feels like, you know, it's nothing he could point to. It's just something deep down inside of him. He knows when to take off. He knows when to run. But he did what a lot of young quarterbacks do, which is anytime they feel pressure, they run backwards, back out and around the pocket, right? And I talked about that a ton last year as something that I wanted Sam Howell to improve on, and he never really did. Can Jaden Daniels feel the pressure on the outside and step up in the pocket and then reestablish his footwork and throw it downfield? That's going to be important here, because Washington is motivated to keeping Jaden Daniels healthy and upright. That is so important for the team this year. They know that. The coaching staff knows that. Jaden knows that. His availability is the most important thing. Can he stay in the pocket more and throw the ball downfield? That's absolutely something to watch for. I'm going to point to a few X factors here. You guys know I'm a big Frankie Louvu fan, have to name him as an X factor. I felt like he was close to having a few tackles for loss and a sack last week. Close but no cigar. Can he get home this Sunday against the Giants? We know Benjamin St. Juice is a big player to watch. How about Jeremy Chinn? Quan Martin was better than Jeremy Chinn was in my mind week one. Well, I thought Jeremy Chinn was going to be the much better safety this season. Jeremy Chinn's going to have to show me some things. He can be an X factor Sunday against the Giants. We know that Washington wants to force feed Terry McLaurin, right? That's obvious. Who can be an X factor offensively? I think it has to be Austin Ekeler, right? That was the guy that we all said needed more touches after the week one defeat to the Bucs, 37-20. Because anytime Ekeler got the ball in his hands, he was explosive. Two rushes for 10 yards, four catches for 52. He had that 22-yard catch and run. He was also involved in the big explosive play to B-Rob by blocking downfield that it was called back for a phantom block in the back. The combination of Ekeler and Robinson, that's going to be important on Sunday. But it's the combination of those guys running the ball, I think, less than them receiving the ball out of the backfield. Can we get Zach Ertz more involved? Will there be a Ben Sennett showing, right? We were so excited for him coming into this season, and he didn't really show up on the box score at all. We'll see what happens in terms of the late inactives for tomorrow. I was kind of shocked week one after they brought in Noah Brown that he didn't play. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury talked about this with the media that they felt like he was still learning the playbook. So maybe They'll give him an opportunity week two here. That's a guy that, from what I saw on film, what he did successfully with the Texans last year was when C.J. Stroud rolled out and kept his eyes downfield, Noah Brown kept running. Noah Brown kept moving and trying to get open, and they connected on some of those extended plays. We want Jayden Daniels to roll out and then throw this game. Maybe it's Noah Brown. Maybe it's Luke McCaffrey or Terry McLaurin. I want more Jayden Daniels throwing on the run this Sunday against the Giants. I am predicting a Commanders victory. I've gone on record here saying I'm expecting a little bit of a high-scoring game here. I think 27-24 Commanders is my prediction in this one. You have to get over that 20-point mark if you want a chance to win this one. I think you have to hold the Giants to under 25. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Wayne in Bowie. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, my man, I listen to you every week, man. You're the best. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I want to bring out a couple of points. One, I saw Derek Forrest on the sidelines in street clothes. Does he fit into the plans? Because people may have forgotten, before he got hurt last year, that dude had four interceptions. That's the first point I want to make, because I like Derek Forrest. Secondly, Jamin Davis is going to be the wild card this year. Mm. He's going to sneak up on some people. I love Jamin Davis, the way they are using him. I just hope they use him more, because I think he's going to get a few sacks and a few stops, because this guy has speed.
Yeah.
And I love his game, you know. And I don't know, in during the preseason, no one's talking about De'Ami Brown. Well, against the Jets, Jayden Daniels changed the play and caught him on a sideline pass down the field. So I think he can get open and get more open than maybe even Zacchaeus or Noah Brown. But anyway, thanks for having me on, man. I enjoy your show.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I'll start with De'Ami Brown. I do think they're going to try to give him a chance here to run a fly route downfield. They need to hit the explosive play. Jayden didn't have any successful passes of over 20 yards, so they definitely need to hit a deep ball. De'Ami Brown would give them that opportunity. You're so right about Jamin Davis, man, and this coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for working with him this offseason. He successfully made the transition from linebacker to edge rusher. He was a playmaker in week one. There against the run, doing that against Tristan Wirfs is impressive, a really good left tackle. And I think most of the fan base agrees, he earned himself more playing time on Sunday because of the way he played. And I saw Cleveland Farrell popped on the injury report, so I do think you'll get more Jamin Davis this Sunday. Derek Forrest, I liked Derek Forrest too. I don't know what's going on. Unfortunately, I think it's a situation where he didn't impress the new coaching staff. They didn't draft him. Why would they develop him? They didn't sign him. Why would they develop him? For some reason, they like Quan Martin much more. They really do. And then they went out and got Jeremy Chinn for a reason. So obviously, they have faith in him. I don't know what's going on with Derek Forrest, but it's certainly an interesting development defensively, because I did think he was a positive last year. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we'll take more of your phone calls next. Rick, Doc, Allen, Lane, I see you guys on the line. We'll take your phone calls next. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We'll take your phone calls in a second here. Commanders, Giants. Did want to mention the local college football games going on today. 6 p.m. Hokies at Old Dominion. This is a revenge game for the Hokies, as the Monarchs of ODU have defeated Virginia Tech at home in Norfolk the last two contests. This is going to be an interesting game here. Virginia Tech has had terrible slow starts to the season in the first two games. Lost to Vanderbilt. Couldn't score against Marshall in the first half. Then all of a sudden, Kyren Drones and the offense caught fire with three straight drives ending in a touchdown. They get the win 31-14. ODU without their quarterback, Grant Wilson, we'll see. Their linebacker, star linebacker, Jason Henderson, is questionable. Should be a good game, though, today at 6 p.m. UVA Maryland, That rivalry returns. Former ACC foes facing off against each other today in Charlottesville for Scott Stadium, the host of UVA against Maryland. The Hoos, UVA is trying to go to 3-0 for the first time in the Tony Elliott era. This would be a statement win for UVA. Unfortunately, though, I think Coach Loxley and Maryland are hungrier. They should not have lost to Michigan State last week. They botched that game completely. UVA was lucky to come back and beat Wake Forest 31-30. I will take the talent level in the Big Ten at Maryland over the talent in the ACC at UVA. Give me Maryland over UVA. That's your local football games here in the state of Virginia. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Let's get back to the Commanders against the New York Giants. What's it going to take for Washington to get their first home win of the Jaden Daniels era? Let's go to my guy, Junkyard Dog in D.C. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, my man?
How are you?
Well, I can only say this. I hear you all talking about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a bum. That's why the Eagles dumped him. Kaz Watkins was a bum. That's why they dropped him or whatever. The only hope for that side of the field is Noah Brown.
Okay.
When you got a coordinator that finds it hard to use McLaurin, I'm not saying McLaurin is a top five receiver. But he damn sure ain't number 20.
Right.
You know, so if you find it hard to only get one pass to him, maybe two passes, the other one was a little short pass. I don't know if they were trying to develop a bubble screen or what, but down when you can count that as a catch.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
No, Cliff Kingsbury screwed up not getting Terry McLaurin involved. Absolutely screwed up, and that's why I think they target him in the first quarter tomorrow.
Also, you got two running backs. You got Eckler, and you got Robinson. Why can't both of them can block? Why can't you? And both of them can come out the backfield and catch passes, or they can stay in and pick up a blitz. One can whatever. Why can't you use both of them in the backfield at the same time?
Yeah, and I think they can, and I think they should. I don't want the plays where Jaden's back there by himself anymore. I think that's putting him in harm's way. I appreciate you taking the call, man. I appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Aaron in Suitland. What's going on, Aaron?
Au contraire, my good friend. I do think that one of the problems with McLaurin is he's not a top 20 receiver. I think that one of the problems is with the team. Think about it. Ever since McLaurin has been here, and I'm not blaming him, what has our problem been at the receiver position? We can't seem to find a one. We can't seem to find a two. So that's just the fact of the matter. When we talk about our cornerbacks are subpar. There's no doubt in my mind that St. Juice cannot play in the NFL. When we drafted him, we thought he was going to make specialty teams. I think it was in the third or fourth round. We already know that Forbes is too small. He's not physical enough. So my thing, being 62 years old, I'm kind of discouraged because I don't expect none of these guys to be here in the next 2 to 3 years. And I just wish they would blow it up, not because of the first game, but just because from a financial perspective and a lack of talent, it doesn't equate to wins. So that's what my problem is with the team. Let me ask you a question.
All right, what's your name again? What was your name again?
Aaron, yes.
I want to hear from you next Saturday if McLaurin gets over 100 yards. I think McLaurin's going to show you he is a top 20 receiver. He can get open. The problem is bad quarterback play. Taylor Heineke, Carson Wentz, Ryan Fitzpatrick, those bums are the reason McLaurin isn't considered a top 10 wide receiver. He is a damn good number one, and he's going to show
it
tomorrow.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let me say this to you. Don't forget, we drafted him in the third round, and we thought that he was going to be on specialty teams. So it's something that we stumbled upon, but he doesn't have the pedigree to be a first-round draft pick or a number one wide receiver. Just look at the facts. He has the yards and the catches because of our lack of talent at wide receiver. But he shouldn't be making $20 million a year. He shouldn't be making that type of money. We don't see it in results. We don't see him running wide open. You know, we don't see that. Every time he catches a ball, regardless of the quarterback, he's not running wide open. Well, the pass last week, that was a good pass, but I mean a bad pass, and he was open. But other than that, we have problems at wide receivers and cornerbacks for the last 10, 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No, I mean, look. I think, but we'll disagree on McLaurin and how good we think he is, but the team needs a second wide receiver for sure. I think what makes Terry so good is that he might not create as much separation as some of the top wide receivers, but he's as good or better at contested catches. And you just need to give him an opportunity. And they didn't do a good enough job of that week one with only four targets. He's a guy that needs
six targets. One more point. I got what you're saying. So all I want you to do is just look at the facts. Compare his numbers the last 2 years, 3 years, or whenever you want to, with the receivers that's in the field that's playing against other teams right now. If you think he's a top 20, then let's let the numbers reflect that. Not to read numbers against the other receivers on our team, because, yes, without a doubt, he is a number one on our team. But in comparison to, you know, other wide receivers in the NFL, nah, he's not a top 20.
Hey, I appreciate the argument, man. I've had a lot of fun with this. I think Terry needs a reliable quarterback, so we'll see if Jaden can be that guy. Appreciate everybody checking out the show today. I've had a ton of fun. Love doing this every Saturday. Again, if you missed any of the show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Download it today for free. And just search 910 The Fan. Search AWOD Radio, and you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. talking all things Commanders and D.C. sports. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Max, thanks for your hard work behind the glass. Love having you on a Saturday morning. Let's get a win, Commanders fans. Let's get a dub. Be so great to talk to you next Saturday with a team that's 500 instead of a team that's 0-2, because we do know in the NFL, if you're 0-2, you only make it to the playoffs about 10% of the time. I'm not saying this team is a playoff team, but I'm saying if you're 0-2, that's when you start looking at mock drafts already, and I hate to do that so early in the season. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Stay tuned. We got more coverage for the Commanders and more right here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, and always available on the go with the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.